What's up, everybody? You're listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, your daily podcast covering the New York Yankees. We are brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. If you're a new listener to the show, hello and welcome. I hope you enjoy today's episode. I am your host, Stacey Gottsoulias. I'm an author of Baseball Prospectus, and I run their Yankee site, BP Bronx. You can follow me on Twitter at Locked On Yankees, or at my personal account, Stay Scotts. You can listen to and subscribe to Locked On Yankees on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can also listen to our show via our website, lockedonyankees.com. And finally, you can play Locked On Yankees on your smart speakers by saying, play podcast Locked On Yankees. As always, you can also email questions or comments to lockedonnyy@gmail.com. On today's episode of Locked On Yankees, we'll discuss the Paxton trade. That's the big news. I'm excited we actually have big news to discuss finally. Seems like an early Christmas present. And a couple of former Yankee legends have landed on the Hall of Fame ballot. You know who they are. They retired after the 2013 season, but we'll talk about it anyway. And there's other baseball news that we'll get to. But first, let's talk about the trade. So the news came across the wire, i.e. Twitter, yesterday, that the Yankees traded for James Paxton. Now, at first, that was the only information given. And then within, I think, 10 to 15 minutes, all of the pieces of the trade were revealed. So the Yankees send lefty Justice Sheffield, who's a very big name. Everyone knows about him. He's one of their top, if not the top prospect. And the other two prospects going to Seattle are outfielder Dom Thompson-Williams and right-handed pitcher Eric Swanson. Seattle is only sending over Paxton. Early analysis of this trade says that the Yankees won the trade, that they didn't lose much to get Paxton. A lot of people don't agree and think that maybe Sheffield was too much to give up for him. We'll see. The Yankees and Seattle have had history regarding trades for pitchers. Michael Pineda, remember how that worked out? I'm not saying Paxton's going to turn into Pineda, but, you know, stranger things have happened. So let's talk about Paxton and his numbers. He's been a Mariner his entire career. He just turned 30 this month. He went 11-6 in 28 starts in 2018. He finished with a 3.76 ERA. He struck out 208 batters, which ranked him ninth in the American League. And he threw a no-hitter against the Blue Jays on May 8th. And he, I believe he struck out 16 against the Red Sox. There was like a stretch of games there where he did really well. So it's a nice pickup for the Yankees. They're not expecting him to be an ace. They have Severino for that. They have Tanaka as their number two. So he's a very solid number three pitcher. And I like the move. It was rumored that this would happen, you know, as soon as Seattle let it be known that they were going to be possibly breaking up the team, which it's pretty clear they're doing that. Paxton to the Yankees made sense. It was kind of in the forefront of everyone's mind. People had a feeling it was going to happen. And Brian Cashman even admitted that he had been working with Jerry DePoto for a month on this deal. So it's a good deal. I don't think this means that the Yankees are out on Machado or Harper. Yes, they've made it clear that starting pitching is their priority, which it should be. But again, this move, I don't think it'll impact a Harper or Machado move. I really don't. I could be completely wrong, but we'll see what happens. It's November 20th. It's the week of Thanksgiving. There are moves to be made. They still need to get rid of Sonny Gray because they're looking to do that. They've made no secret of that fact. Brian Cashman has been pretty vocal about the fact that he wants to say adios to Sonny Gray. The one team that was mentioned as the number one possibility for a Gray trade was Cincinnati. We'll see if that happens. So yeah, there's a lot of moving parts. I think the Paxton move, if they maybe sign Patrick Corbin, that could be their second move for the rotation. Friends of mine, I should say. I have a Slack group with friends where we talk about everything, but we have a Yankees channel. And the back and forth in that channel about this trade was pretty interesting, I have to say. There were at least three of the guys in that group who were pretty negative about this Paxton move, which I was pretty surprised about. Although one of the guys posted at 8:45 this morning that he changed his mind and he was fine with the move. Maybe sleeping on it made him feel better about it. But yeah, it was very strange. Like, you know, I was reading through it and seeing all the negativity about it was kind of surprising. You know, Paxton's a pretty solid pitcher. And, you know, they're not saddled with a long deal for him. I think he's under team control for 2 seasons, so it's not that big a deal. And again, he's a solid number three, so I don't understand why they were so negative about it. It was very strange. But yeah, I give the deal right now, it's a solid B+. We'll see how things work out during the season. The Yankees aren't done making their moves. They will be doing other stuff. I know that they're making it seem like they don't want to spend money this year, but they should. I've said this in many podcasts. I want this offseason to be like the offseason 10 years ago where they just went ham and pissed everyone off. I want that again. And let me tell you, people were angry last night about this move. And what was even cracking me up, a couple of guys that I follow, friends of mine who've written for different blogs on the internet who are actually fans of the Philadelphia Phillies were pissed off about this deal. And a part of me wanted to tweet back at them and be like, why do you even care what the Yankees do? Pay attention to the Mets and the Nats. Like, what's your problem? I can understand Seattle fans being annoyed because they hate the Yankees. So seeing Paxton go to the Yankees was probably like a knife into their hearts. Poor babies. So up next, we will discuss the Hall of Fame ballot. Ballad. It's not a song. Ballot with a T. So we'll talk about that in the next segment. But first, it's the most wonderful time of the year. It's Hall of Fame ballot time. I'm being extremely sarcastic right now because I don't think this is anyone's favorite time of the year, usually because of the arguments that pop up whenever writers make their ballots public, because there are a lot of times when the writers, you know, there are only 10 slots, right? You can only vote for 10. And some of these people only vote for 5, they only vote for 6. And there are more than 10 worthy players on that ballot for the Hall of Fame. And you have the writers who get into the, oh, he shouldn't go in his first year, or, oh, there's a suspicion of steroids, or whatever nonsense that they can come up with to justify the fact that their ballots are awful. So let's see. The ballot includes 15 holdovers and 20 new candidates. Edgar Martinez is the top returnee. He received 70.4% of the vote, and this is his final year on the ballot. And if he doesn't make it, I am going to throw a table. I am not kidding. I am very on the Edgar Martinez for Hall of Fame train. I am one of those older Yankee fans who remembers shaking in my boots figuratively, whenever Martinez came up to bat. That lineup, that Seattle lineup in the 90s with him, with Griffey, with Buehner, with young Alex Martinez, they were, with young Alex Rodriguez, they were frightening. I was a Dwight Gooden's no-hitter. I have no idea how the hell he no-hit that lineup, because every time someone came up to bat, I was like, okay, this is where it ends. This is where it ends. Okay, no, this is where it ends. And it's 22 years later, I still don't understand how he did it. Because any guy in that lineup could turn on a ball and hit it out of the stadium, especially Edgar. And I know that there are a lot of people who, he didn't play a position, he was only the DH, but for a time, he was the best DH in baseball. He was one of the best hitters in baseball. And he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. And it needs to happen this year. So do it. Damn it. So anyway, Mo is one of the new candidates. As I mentioned earlier, he retired in 2013. So this was the time for him to appear. Now, he will not get in unanimously because, again, there are writers who don't believe in that stuff. So you'll see the percentage. I'm assuming he's going to get in with at least 90% of the ballots, I would hope. Like, how do you deny him entry in his first year? You don't. You don't. So, Mo will be getting in. Now, Roy Halladay is on the ballot. Andy Pettit, Todd Helton, Lance Berkman, Miguel Tejada, Roy Oswalt, Michael Young, and then the rest. Placido Polanco, Derek Lowe, Freddie Garcia, Kevin Youkilis, Vernon Wells, Ted Lilly, Travis Hafner, Jason Bay, John Garland, Darren Oliver, Ryan Dempster, Juan Pierre, and Rick Ankiel. Now, the other person that I want to see get in this year, I want Mike Mussina getting in. Put him in. Have the induction ceremony be Edgar Martinez, Mariano Rivera, and Mike Mussina. So I can go up to Cooperstown in July when they're inducted, because I want to go. By the way, that would be my first trip up to Cooperstown. I know. People have yelled at me about it already. I don't even live that far from Cooperstown. It's only like a few hours from my house. Not even a few. What is it, like two and a half? It's not that far from my house at all. My brother goes up every year. He's an umpire and he works tournaments up there. Kids from all different places all over the country go there. And, oh, let me think. There was a former baseball player who was coaching his son's team. Darn it. It was someone who played for the Rockies. Now I can't remember who it was. And my brother's really good with recognizing people without, like, I have trouble recognizing baseball players without their uniforms on, which is the strangest thing I know. But my brother, we were in Disney World in 1990 for our midwinter break. We were at Typhoon Lagoon. I think Typhoon Lagoon hadn't opened up that long before then. Was it 90 or 91? May have been 91. And my brother runs over to me and my mother and my dad, who's sitting on a lounge chair. He goes, "Dad, I need paper and a pen. I just saw Jack Clark with his family." And my dad's like, "Jack Clark? what? Like, how do you recognize Jack Clark, one, out of his baseball uniform, and two, in a bathing suit? But he recognized him. So he runs back over to Jack Clark, gets his autograph, blah, blah, blah. You know, Jack Clark was there with his family. So later on in the day, my brother and I are in the Lazy River, and we're about to go under this bridge, and this lady starts waving at my brother, and he's waving back. And I'm like, who the hell is that? He goes, it's Jack Clark's wife. That's one of my favorite days. It was so funny. Oh, that was so great. I was like, oh, sure. Okay. That's normal. So yeah. Anyway, I had to tell you that story because that's just the way my brother is. And you know, my dad was kind of the same way. Like, my dad didn't care if you were famous or not. He just would walk up to someone and talk to them like they were a normal person, which a lot of famous people liked about my dad. He was a telephone man for New York Telephone, then AT&T, 9X, all those different places. And he used to fix phones for famous people because he worked primarily the Upper East Side. And he fixed Jackie Onassis's phone. He fixed Cheryl Teagues' phone. If you don't remember who Cheryl Teagues was, she was a very big model in the 70s and 80s. She loved my dad. It would actually request for him to be the one to fix her phone if she had issues with it. Claire Trevor was an old actress from like the 30s or 40s. She would always request my dad, you know. So I don't have that gene. I kind of do, but I kind of don't. Like, I'll talk to someone, but I'll usually end up saying something stupid and embarrassing myself. So if I'm near a famous person, I just kind of will wave or, you know, nod and acknowledge their existence. But I try not to speak anymore because I've said some dumb things. So anyway, that's the Hall of Fame ballot. So I want to see Mo, Edgar, and Moose. Do it, writers, for the love of God. So up next, we'll talk about other baseball news, some signings and drug busts, because those are always fun. But first, it is segment number 3, so we will be talking about general Major League Baseball news with a Yankee twist in this particular story. First up, Griffin Conine, son of Jeff, has been suspended for the first 50 games of next season under the minor league drug program for a positive test for the banned stimulant Ritalin-ic acid. There's an ick at the end of Ritalin on that name. And New York Yankees pitcher Daniel Martin was suspended for the first 25 games for a violation of the drug program. 25-game suspensions are assessed for use or possession of a syringe of an injectable substance. Interesting. Conine was selected by the Blue Jays in the second round of last June's amateur draft. They had the 52nd overall pick. He signed for a bonus of $1.35 million. He played with Duke for 3 seasons. He played with the Gulf Coast League Blue Jays. Then he went to Vancouver, which is Class A in the Northwest League. And Martin is a 21-year-old right-hander who made 1 relief appearance last season in the Dominican Summer League, and then he made 2 appearances for the Gulf Coast League Yankees East team. Now, overall, there have been 67 suspensions just this year under the minor league drug program and 10 under the big league drug program. So guys are still doing it. It doesn't matter. Oh, speaking of that, Blake Snell, after he won the Cy Young Award, tweeted that he was going to be drug tested the next day. And he said, huh, that's weird, isn't it? And I joked that Trevor Bauer was the one that called the drug testers on him because Bauer was bitching and moaning about Snell's win. He was more bitching and moaning about the fact that he had some numbers that were better than Snell, and he only was, I think he was voted 6th in the Cy Young voting, because Trevor Bauer is Trevor Bauer. He is, he's something, that guy. He really is. Oh, the Indians unveiled new uniforms for 2019. They will be wearing alternate red home jerseys, which means this will be the first time they've worn red jerseys since the 1970s. They wore them from 1975 to 1977, but they also wore red pants then, and those will not be making a comeback. I kind of wish they would, though. That would be an interesting look. And next season, for the first time in 70 years, the Indians will not have Chief Wahoo on their uniforms at all. If you see people reacting to that news in a negative way, you know they're a racist. So Kurt Suzuki signed a 2-year deal with the Washington Nationals. He'll be getting $4 million in 2019, $6 million in 2020. He made $3.5 million in 2018 with the Braves. He played with the Nats in 2012 and 2013. He hit .239 with 8 home runs and 50 RBIs in 122 games, spanning parts of 2012 and 2013. He was acquired by the Nationals from the A's in 2012, and then they traded him back to the A's in 2013. Some people were thinking that maybe Oakland would pick him up, but that didn't happen. He's a .258 career hitter. He's played with the Twins, with the Nats, with the A's, and the Braves over his 12 seasons of Major League Baseball. And he made the All-Star team in 2014 when he was with the Twins. So Matt, that makes Matt Wieters, or that doesn't make him, but he is a free agent. So it looks like he's out with the Nats and someone else will be able to pick him up. He only appeared in 76 games. He was injured a lot in 2018. The Astros acquired Aledmys Diaz in a trade with the Blue Jays, and they gave up a minor league pitcher, Trent Thornton. This happened over the weekend on Saturday. So this move probably means that the Astros will not be re-signing Marwin Gonzalez, who is a free agent. So Diaz played both shortstop and third for the Blue Jays in 2018. He hit .263. He had a career high of 18 home runs. He hit 26 doubles, and he collected 55 RBIs in 130 games. He had a strong second half. He batted .290. And his OPS was .856. So that's pretty good. Thornton is a 25-year-old right-hander. He went 9-8 with a 4.42 ERA and 122 strikeouts in 22 starts for AAA Fresno in 2018. So Marwin Gonzalez is up for grabs. Joe Maurer retired. I don't think I mentioned that last week. He was a very solid player for the Twins for his entire career. And amazingly enough, the Twins were 0 for 10 in playoff games that he's played in, which I found shocking. I thought they at least won something against the Yankees, right? I don't know. I saw that stat and was like, wait, I could have sworn the Twins won at least one game against the Yankees when Maurer was with them, but maybe he didn't play in the game. Maybe he was injured or something. So yes, he's retiring. So he will be on the Hall of Fame ballot in 5 years. He should probably make the Hall of Fame. A lot of people were arguing back and forth about that because whenever someone retires, they do that. Adrian Beltre announced today that he's retiring. He should get into the Hall of Fame just for his antics whenever someone touched his head. All joking aside, there is no doubt he's getting into the Hall of Fame. Over 3,000 hits, over 400 home runs as a full-time third baseman. He had an incredible career. He's definitely making the Hall of Fame, that ballot. So him and Maurer on the same ballot. That'll be fun in 5 years. So that's it for Locked On Yankees, your daily podcast covering the New York Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I have been your host, Stacey Gottsoulias. You can follow me on Twitter at Locked On Yankees, or at my personal account, Stace Gotts. And once again, you can email us questions at lockedonnyy@gmail.com. You can also rate this podcast on Apple and on Google. You can subscribe at Apple, Google, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can spread the word, tell your fellow Yankee fans. This week, I'm telling you right now, is going to be a little iffy just because of Thanksgiving on Thursday. That day, there will definitely not be a podcast. I will be too busy stuffing my face with food, and there won't be much to talk about anyway. So, we had some Yankee news to talk about, and that's what we did today. So, everyone have a good Monday, and I will talk to you all tomorrow.